So I thought it would be really good to talk about why you decided that you wanted to do a Yorkshire yarn and how that began.
We knew that we wanted to do something Yorkshire. Really, we've sort of, since we've been up here, we decided that what we wanted was properly British wool. Because I am so fed up of seeing things that are labelled as British and they're not British. Either they've been shipped halfway around the world, or they've been finished in the UK, and it's really, really mad. And it's like every time you get in the car and you go anywhere, I see sheep. And it seems really, really insane to be driving past these sheep and then thinking, yeah, let's import stuff and have it shipped. And sheep's fleece isn't light and it's not small. So it takes up a lot of space to move it. And just from an ethical point of view, that seems a bit crazy. You know, if we went shopping, we wouldn't want to buy Kenyan green beans. You know, that seems like a bit of a, you know, having stuff that is flown halfway around the world is just, it's such a waste of resources. And especially when there are all these sheep here, it seemed really mad not to try and do something with them. So we'd been pondering that idea and we'd spoken to Blacker Yarns, and on the back of that we did the Wensleydale and Shetland blend. But then having started speaking to Lila, we started thinking, well, if we could have something that was even more local to us, it would be amazing. And then Claire emailed me and said, do you want some sheep? Well, not do you want some sheep? So please. Yeah. I think if you'd emailed me now, I might have got, do you want some sheep? But do you want some fleece? So we thought, well, we'll go, you know, we'll go and have a look. And we went over one afternoon. And it was just, it was one of these gloriously sunny days.
Yeah,
it was
beautiful.
Yeah. Met Claire and her mum. Mm-hmm. And met the sheep. And then walked up and met the other sheep. And it just felt like an incredibly right thing to do. And speaking to Claire about the whole history of the flock is amazing, and how it was started by her dad. And I remember their mum telling me that she was actually pregnant with Claire when mm-hmm. they went to see the first sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And then after Claire's dad died, Claire actually agreed to take the flock on, which is a madly brave thing to do.
Slightly mental, yes.
I was impressed with her thinking. She's completely mental.
No, I just don't think her mental.
It's an amazing thing to do, and he would have been so proud of you.
He would.
I think it really stood out when we came to visit how much you cared about your sheep and how you looked after them.
Oh, they've got names.
Yeah, how much you'd improved them as well over.
Yeah, I think that's the thing about livestock, is that you can look after them as best as you can, but there is a sheep. My dad said this to me when he handed them over to me, and he did say, look, the one thing you've got to remember is sheep are there to do one thing, die. They will try everything they possibly can to die on you.
Yes.
There are so many things that can go wrong. And until you've had them as long as I have, and this is, even I look at them and I think, oh, but I missed that, and oh, yeah. How did he get that? And
yeah.
You just have no idea. And he was up there every day with them. So it's a, for me taking them on, we've just had one with Flystrike, and I remember sending my other half up as my bump's getting bigger, I'm struggling to climb over the gates. So I sent my husband up and I said, just check for Flystrike. He said, yes, dear. Rang me when he was there and he's like, I think there's one with maggots, but not flies. Yeah, that's Flystrike. And we just didn't know what we were looking for. But luckily, with some help of a local farmer, he's managed to save it, and it's now okay, and it's fine, and it'll have a nice, lovely fleece, and it works. But yeah, it's they do try and die on you an awful lot. They really do.
Yeah, how did it get its head stuck through there?
Yes. Especially my lot, they're very inquisitive.
Is it Paul Dorset's that you have?
It is, yes.
Yeah. Do you want to say what you were doing before you had all these Paul Dorsets?
I moved back to Harrogate November 2014, I think it was. Yeah, just before my little boy was two. My dad was diagnosed with cancer in 2010, and it sort of kept coming and going a little bit. And it got to the point where my little boy was nearly two, and I thought, I've done the baby days on my own in Manchester with our sort of family around, and we thought, no, we need to move back. We didn't know how many times it was going to come back, and one day we knew it was going to get my dad, we didn't know when. So we thought, well, we'll make the move back. And I've grown up with the flock. The flock's older than I am. But yeah, I went from being a project manager and an operations manager to being a stay-at-home mum, to being a sheep farmer, a stay-at-home mum. And the only thing I'd ever done was show the sheep. I'd wash them in fairy liquid for one weekend a year. I had
other brands are available.
Yes. I will probably be cursed for saying fairy liquid because apparently it does something to the lanolin that isn't ideal. So yes, other brands are available. But yeah, it was good fun. I did it for one weekend a year and I had a great time doing it. It was my weekend with my dad. It was always Nidderdale show weekend, which was Pateley show to us locals around here. And it was a great thing. And I put on a white coat and held a little halter and made it walk in a circle. And that was it. That was my job done for the year. But as it happened, when I came up, my little boy was so in love with his granddad and so in love with the sheep that we went up a lot and I got to see a lot more about what my dad actually did with them. And I quite liked it. It was fun. It was enjoyable. So when it actually came to, I think my mum and dad went on holiday in the March. They went to Llandudno for a week and my dad was a bit, oh my God, I'm leaving my sheep for a whole week and I'm leaving them with her and she's not done a whole lot with them, what's going to happen? But they survived for the week. It snowed while they were away in Llandudno and they were happy and sunny and we were all freezing cold, but it worked. And I thought, I actually quite like this. And my little boy adored it and we just thought, well, let's just keep playing with them and see what happened. But then my dad's cancer came back and it came back very, very quickly. Within 6 weeks of diagnosis, he had unfortunately died. And at the time, it's like, this is what I'm waiting to do with my sheep. And he said, sell that to them, give that person back that bit, because Yorkshire farmers bargain. So there was a lot of bargaining with sheep. It's like, well, that person owes me a lot of favours, so you can call on them for help. And I owe that person a lot of favours, so give them a sheep. And I just looked at him and I said, Dad, I think I'm going to keep them. And he went, are you sure? I said, well, I'm going to have a go. And he made me promise that if it ever got too much, that I'd get rid of them. Not only for us, but for the sheep. Mm. It's not fair to livestock. If you can't look after them, you shouldn't have them.
Yeah.
It's that simple. But yeah, he made me promise that. And then he started saying, right, well, this is what you do to register them. And this is what you do when you need to call the knacker man. When one's beyond help, he says, you call the knacker man. And he comes and does this, and you do that, you do this. And he's like, if you keep this one, keep that one. He says, don't keep that one. Don't keep that one at Ed Butts. Don't keep that one. Don't keep that one. He's like, but make sure you keep this one. That one comes and leans on me leg, but you can get rid of it. And I've still got it. He'd curse me if he knew I still had that sheep. It's very old. It needs to go. It needs to go. But I can't quite bring myself to do it yet.
Is that one that's got a name?
No, it's her daughter that has a name. Oh, I right. call her Nibbles. Because since she was a tiny, tiny thing, she's always nibbled at my welly or my coat or anything. But yeah, she's Nibbles. Nibbles will stay with me till her very last day, I think. I don't think I'll ever have anything bad to say about her.
Well, that's what we thought all lambs should be called, Nibblets.
Nibblets. But yeah, then he kind of said, well, you need to keep this one, this one, this one, this one, and this one for at least another few weeks. And I said, why? He said, well, they're pregnant. What? I said, lambing? I've never done that in my life. And he's like, be fine. He says, just ream somebody. And I said, oh my God. And you hear all these horror stories of prolapses. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. And he's like, be fine, just ring somebody. And I thought, right, I need to sort this out. And we got the scanner man in and he scanned them all. So we had a rough idea of who was due when. Luckily, with how many, I rang one of my dad's friends, a lad he'd grown up with that keeps a different breed of sheep just up near Dacre. And I said, I don't really know what I'm doing. Can you give me sort of a crash course? And he says, bring them up here. My dad had rented some fields up there. And he says, if you bring them up there, they're back onto my fields. I'll check them every day for you. I was like, oh, thank you. And at this point, I'd sold some as well. So he was a rookie like me, a young lad who wanted to start out. So he bought some. And we divvied them up. I kept the best breeders. And I thought, right, I'll get some good gimmers out of this. And I'll get maybe a couple of tups I can send to the butcher. No, he got all the nice gimmers. I got all the tups. Got nothing to go forward with. But I've kept the best breeding sheep, which is what I wanted. But no, it was good. We got them all. I managed to land one myself, which I was very proud about. I bragged for days about that, for absolutely days and days. But yeah, it was good. It was just nice to see them, and Zach loved it as well. My little boy, he absolutely adored it. He got to watch these lambs, and in the January, they'd lambed before, because Dorsets can lamb more than most sheep. I think it's, I need to quote the numbers now, but I think they can do something like 3 cycles in 2 years or something like that. Which is, they're very popular for that, because they can, there's a lot more turnover. Which is why my dad liked them as well. He could do it basically when he wanted. He could fit it in around what else was going on in his life. So it worked really well for us. But yeah, they lambed in the January before, and we've got a little video clip of my little boy going around this shed in the January, and he'd found this lamb, and he couldn't keep hold of it, so he just grabbed its tail. of course, we wring our tails, so they eventually fall off, which stops a whole load of issues later in life. But yeah, he went hold and grabbed this tail, and we were just waiting for this tail to fall off as he was dragged around this barn. But luckily, it never did.
What are they like? Do they need looking to, or are they like Shetlands? Can you just leave them to get on with it?
Dorsets are very good mothers. They're very, very good mothers. That's the one thing they are always advertised as, is very good mothers. We left ours. Ours lambed in the September, October, and we just left them in the fields. It was absolutely fine. My dad only ever brought them in if there was likely to be frost or snow on the ground. But yeah, they were fine. You can have issues, you can have prolapses, but I think I've only known that happen once or twice. They're very, very easy. And you've just got to, as we learnt the hard way, you've just got to watch how you look after the mothers, because obviously it's the same with us and like me now. If you eat too much, you get a bigger baby, and you get a bigger baby, you get more complications. So we kind of went a bit OTT on, oh, they're eating for two. No, that doesn't apply to sheep, like it doesn't apply to humans. But no, they were all really good lambs.
And so did your dad used to just sell the wool to marketing boards?
Basically, yeah. He started selling it direct to the marketing board, and then we found a third party that then sent it off, which was just a tradition. For him, it wasn't a moneymaker. It used to be, it very much used to be, but it wasn't a moneymaker. So it was a case of imagining a shot of it. And we broke even. Mm-hmm. I think we did shearing just before my dad died, and he gave me how much it would be, and that's exactly how much it was. And then I took the fleece up and I got it exactly that back. And I thought, bloody hell, it needs doing. They have to be done. Particularly Dorsets, because as you know, the fleece is very thick, it's very dense. But my goodness me, I just thought there's something better here. There's got to be something better. And my dad was all about the local, and he was all about looking after other people and seeing if he can do things and help people. That's what my dad was. So when it came to it this time, and it looked like the price was actually a little bit lower, and I thought, it's going to cost me money. I've not got any girls. I've not got any girl lambs. I've not got any new breeders. I thought, I don't know what to do. I can't sustain this. I have to make a little bit of money somehow. So pardon my way of doing it, but I sent emails around to quite a few little local knitting groups, and I thought, oh, I'm not going to get anywhere here. And I did a bit of a Google, and I found Joy, and I just said, interested in a Dorset fleece, thinking she might take one. No. Yeah. I don't think I'm interested in one, she said. I think that was it. How many have you got to sell? Right.
The thing is, if we'd taken one, I would have had to deal with it.
Yes,
and it
that's
would have
true.
Made a mess about the buckets of water in the backyard.
Oh,
and
yes.
I'd have said no.
Basically.
Yes, pretty much.
Yeah, we'd never got away with that. Whereas, because we ended up with about, to be fair,
you took 15, 16 fleeces,
yeah.
Didn't you?
I think we ended up with pretty close to 40 kilos of fleece.
Yeah.
In the end. We met Claire's new neighbours because she took the fleeces back to her house.
Yes.
And we stood outside the house and we stuffed them into wool sacks so that I could send them off to
work. Oh, the hottest day of the year, Joy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
my road stunk.
Yeah. Yeah, so we
Joy
met one of Claire's neighbours. It was lovely. Yeah, I think I just about got in the door, and it was like, go in the shower.
Put your clothes in the washing machine.
Yeah. The guy from Parcel Force turned up to pick stuff up the next morning and took one look at it and went, I'll come back for these last thing. you don't want these in your van all day.
Yeah, on a hot day.
On a hot day. On a hot day. No. Cooking gently.
And you had already been thinking about doing seeking out fleece before this, or was it just a happy coincidence?
We'd sort of been thinking about doing it. We'd spoken to a couple of mills. But you go through somebody and you use whatever they source for you. And sometimes they will try and source something specific for you. Like Natural Fibre Company, who are part of Blacker, have done with this. Because really we said to them, well, we started off with, I want something from Yorkshire. And then Lia rashly said to me, oh, I think we can do better than Yorkshire. It's like, right, get on with it. Better be local. The other yarn that's going into it is really, really local as well. It's in a place called Rigmore Reindeers. So they have, it's like a micro farm that they take around different places, and they have sheep and they have pygmy goats who look adorable on the website. But yeah, it's either that thing that you try and source your own fleece, and then it's quite tricky because if you don't know the people, you don't have any idea how good the fleece is.
Yeah.
And with Claire's, we went out and we were literally able to get our hands into the fleece, and you could see, you know, I mean, the Paul Dorsets are gorgeous. They're just like the best sheepskin rug in the world, really. they're just so, it's like, is there a sheep underneath here? They're just so much wool on them. But you could see from the fleece that there were no breaks, you know, when you tugged it, there were no breaks in it, and you could see how well, you could tell from that the sheep have been well treated all the way through. Because if anything happens, it stresses and upsets them.
Oh, yeah.
You get breaks
in. You see it.
No. And I remember seeing that in a fleece that somebody was trying to prepare at spinning group. And they were trying to card it. And this thing was literally, it was like watching somebody had bleached their hair once too often.
Yeah.
It literally just, it shattered. It was quite amazing. It was horrible, but it was quite amazing. But if you're not actually somebody that you can go and look at the fleece yourself, you really are buying the complete unknown. Which is why for this time round, it's been great to get stuff in Claire's fleece, and it's been lovely to get to know her while we've been doing all this. It's been really good. I think people want to feel that what they buy actually has a bit of meaning. It's not just some product that
it's not just any of the sheep on any other farm in anywhere in the country, anywhere in Europe, anywhere in the world.
No.
Yeah.
That's it. And it's lovely to think we actually know where the two farms are and the two flocks are that went into this yarn. And it means we kind of, you know, there's a whole back history to it. You know, it's not quite that thing of like you grow up for the meal and they tell you, you know, which cow your steak came from. But there's a real level of accountability with it.
Yes,
there is. And I like that. Rather than it just being, yeah, we bought a pile of stuff via the wool board.
Mm.
You know, and there can be anything in there. You don't know how well sheep have been treated. You don't know how well people have been paid. And it seemed a really good chance to actually do something and make sure that everybody, every single step of this process, made the best money possible out of it. So it meant we could say to Blacker, what's the price you would pay for this?
Mm.
And whatever they said was their sort of, this is what we paid for the absolutely top quality fleece. We had a guess, didn't we, about how much fleece we thought we had. But rather than sort of thinking, well, we're going to quibble about just how good is this fleece, it was like, yeah, that's great. Well, you know, we can just pay you that for that, and then it's gone, and then you didn't have to shift. Well, you had to help me pack it into bags, so sorry about that.
I had to do that anyway.
But there's that, yeah. So you're saying that there's that you know, that lovely, you know, each step of the journey. But then there's also that from the crafting side of it, there's more and more emphasis, and we've talked about this before as well, about people who want to buy a special yarn for a special project, and that has a meaning.
Yeah.
But also the fact is that the yarn has got meaning already because it comes from your dad's flocks and story behind it. And I think that's going to resonate with a lot of people. I think a lot of people will want to sort of support that as well. And support, and also the fact that it's joy and everything she does is just awesome. But did you kind of, is this how the whole process is going, is how you expected?
This is not what I expected in the slightest, if I'm honest. I expect, in all honesty, and I think this is my naivety, because I didn't appreciate the want and need for local, and especially in things like wool as well. For me, it was, that was always the byproduct, that wasn't it. It was the meat that was the driving force for us. So when I emailed Joy and she says, well, can I come and have a look? I have to admit, my first reaction was, what, for one fleece? You are kidding me, aren't you? Oh my day. I thought, crikey, I've got like nearly 60 fleeces to get rid of. And I thought, I can't be doing this 60 times. And I thought, well, no, do you know what? Never mind. And I've never seen a reaction like Joy's, I have to say. When she, as soon as she walked into the field, she was just a bit like, oh, look at them. Can I touch up? She was so excited to get near them. But yeah, honestly, I expected to be sort of dropping one fleece off at a little back shop in Harrogate that teaches knitting. I didn't expect all of this at all. I didn't know it was there, but again, that's my naivety. I've never dealt with it. But no, it's a lovely thing to be able to do, and for Joy to kind of grab hold of something that means so much to me, mm-hmm. and charge ahead with it has been amazing. And I cannot thank her enough for it, because my dad would be over the moon with this. He really would.
Oh, it's brilliant. That's excellent. I can't wait to see it. I bet you can't wait to see it.
I am really excited. Look, I think my frustrating thing at the minute is I want to be able to take something and show my dad, because my dad was very much about making things. He was very much a Del Boy engineer, and he... He's made two trailers that are still going, so all my trailers that I use, he's made, and he's found bits of scrap this, and two tyres from an old car, and this, that, and the other. And it's amazing. He saw something he wanted, and he just made it. He just made his own version of it to see how he wanted it. So to be able to kind of go back to him now and say, look, these are your sheep. These are the sheep you gave me, and now look what we've got with it. He would just be over the moon. He would be absolutely over the moon with it. So yeah, I can't wait. I'm going to have to go knitting with him.
Get my hands on it.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you guys so much for that.